if you would, please. Acts, the 20th chapter. I know it might surprise you, but I get somewhat emotional sometimes. And so this weekend, I mean, it's just like full of emotion for us. Yesterday was exciting. We got to grill Pastor Andrew yesterday morning, and that was just fun. He did a fabulous job and answered all of our questions that he should have answered rightly, and it was just an exciting time for us there. And then last night we had the actual ordination service and laying on of hands, and that was just a thrill, and I better stop or I'll start crying again. And it's just we're honored to be able to see God working in the hearts and lives of our young people, and that was just exciting. And then, you know, with that as well, then the other extreme, as we've watched Miss Judy for the last couple of years, just struggling with cancer and keeping a positive attitude and trusting in the Lord and encouraging us in the things of God. And she so desperately wanted to make it back to church one more time. And but, you know, the Lord's timing is always perfect. And who is to say, maybe Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 show us that she's peeking over the battlements of heaven right even today and joining in our service today. So I don't know, but what a blessing it was to watch her home going. And she's with the Lord, so we're going to celebrate that this afternoon and this evening. And so sandwiched in that is our morning service. And so I'm going to try to not get so emotional with everything. But at the same time, you know, in view of both of those things, this young man starting his ministry and Miss Judy finishing hers, we come into the story of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, often called the 2020 vision of the Bible. And we're going to look at that. 2020 vision, what does that mean even? Do you know what 2020 vision is? Somebody tell me, what is 2020 vision? Well, okay, that's perfect vision. That's what I would have said, too. I looked it up on the internet. Here's what the internet says, which is never wrong. And so here's what the internet says. The internet says that 2020 vision means that you can see something 20 feet away that you should be able to see if you have normal vision from 20 feet away. If you have, let's say, for instance, 2010 vision, then that means that you could actually see something from 20 feet away that a person with normal vision would have to be 10 feet away in order to see it. That's really good vision. Then if you have 2050 vision or something like that, which is what I have without my contacts, sometimes with my contacts, then, you know, you have to be 20 feet to see what other people can see from 50 feet away. So it's that kind of, that's the concept. It's having really good vision. But the interesting part that I caught with that, of that was that it's normal. That's the way the internet described this. It's normal vision. If you're 20/20, that's normal. Now, I'm surprised because many of you described it just the way I said. Oh, that's perfect vision. Because in my world, normal has always been blurry. Do you understand? I've never had normal vision, really. I've always had either glasses or contact lenses. When JD was 2, he got hold of my glasses and back then they were wire-rimmed, and he just tore them all to shreds. And that's the last pair of glasses I've owned. I had contacts even then, and I've just always worn my contacts and never bothered to replace my glasses. I know you're not supposed to wear your contacts that much. I know you're supposed to have a pair of glasses as a backup. I just don't, all right? And I haven't had for, how old is he, 25 almost? So I haven't had for that many years. It's fine. But normal for me has always been, you know, blurred. And I'm afraid sometimes in our Christian walk, that's kind of the way we are. We normal becomes for us much less than what it should be. And so this, when we refer to Acts 20:20, it has nothing to do with your eyesight, but it does have to do with normal Christianity. What God's going to describe to us here is what should be normal for us as Christians. And I'm afraid that too often what we do is we're so used to our vision being poor that we're content to having less than 20/20 vision. I'm at that stage in my life where I wear contacts and I still need to wear, you know, what are these called? Reading glasses, right? Now, you've probably never seen me wear them. There's a reason for that. Because I hate them. I don't like wearing them. I don't think it's vanity because, quite honestly, I think the more I could cover up, the better off I am. You know, hair would be great. You know, a big pair of glasses would be even better. I just don't like messing with them. I don't like the on and off, you know, that thing. That it just drives me nuts. So I try my best to read without the glasses because quite honestly, I'm so used to it now that I can say, oh, look. And that becomes normal. You ever seen somebody do that? And it's normal for them, right? That becomes normal. We're accustomed to not being able to see clearly, and that becomes normal. But what God's going to describe here in this Acts 20:20, this vision that God gives us of normal Christianity, probably doesn't look much like the way we're living our Christian lives. Because what we've done is we've adjusted normal to fit more what we're comfortable with. See, I'm uncomfortable putting my glasses on and off to be able to see clearly, so I just adjust my lifestyle to another normal. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, that's exactly what we do here. So I want to challenge us as we're looking through this, that this is normal Christianity that's going to be described. Acts chapter 20, verse 20, let's read it and we'll pray. Jumping in the middle of a thought, and we'll fill the thought in just a moment. Paul says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I know it's just kind of jumping in the middle of a thought, and we're going to fill in the gaps of this thought, but the Acts 20:20 vision, the normal of Christianity, is found in two things in this verse, and then we'll jump into the whole study. First of all, that we hold back nothing. I am tired of the Christianity that requires no sacrifice. It's not pretty, and it's not powerful, and it accomplishes very little for the glory of God. We have adjusted our Christianity so that we're very comfortable with it, and it costs us nothing. The Apostle Paul says, I've held back nothing. I've kept nothing back. And then the other part of this that he shows us in this particular verse, this verse that is often referred to, is that he teaches, he talks about, he tells people about the Lord publicly and privately, publicly and house to house. And that ought to be normal for us. Acts 20:20. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to glean from this passage this morning, a truth about our own Christian walk. God, I pray that you would challenge us to live up to what ought to be a normal standard of living for our Christian lives. Lord, we would be willing to sacrificially live out our lives in such a way that it brings glory and honor to you. Bless this now as we study it together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back up, if you would, to verse 19. Here's where it kind of starts. The thought kind of process begins here for the Apostle Paul. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, here's where it starts. This is that normal Christianity that ought to be played out in all of our lives. It starts with a serving of the Lord. That's just the beginning of our Christian life. Now, I'm trying not to be mean. I love you. You know, I do. I love you. But our lives ought to be, as Christians, would you agree, epitomized by serving the one who died for us. To gather ourselves together on Sunday mornings and worship him is just the beginning. It's what we do because we love him so much. It's that worship of him. And then because we worship him, we go out and live a life that is normal for Christians to live. And that life ought to be epitomized by service, by the doing of the word. And don't misunderstand, your first and foremost priority is your family. But some of you are hiding behind your families. Well, I'm serving the Lord by serving my family. That's good. Then do your family a favor and bring them to church and serve with them. Teach them how to serve. You can't hide behind the fact that, you know, that's, you don't find this in the Bible, that people served the Lord only by serving their families. I mean, I want you to be strong families. I want moms and dads to do their job and quit expecting the state to raise your kids. I don't want that. I don't want you to expect the church to raise your kids. That's not what you're supposed to do. So I'm not pretending that I don't want you serving at home. But it doesn't stop there. It's house to house and publicly. Do you understand? That's what serving the Lord is. So some of you need to get out from behind your family and start serving the Lord, because you're raising a small, tight-knit community of people who are only going to serve each other, which makes for really nice family get-togethers. But it really limits the circle of that family in heaven, right? I mean, the wonderful thing about heaven will be that all of the people that are there, right? Isn't that the great thing about it? That the family is greatly extended as we reach out. So, you know, this is what God does. It starts out with this serving, and then he goes on to say this. He's serving, not just serving, but serving with all, what's the word? We're back in verse 19. Did I lose your thought there? Serving the Lord with all what? There you go. I want to make sure you're with me. With all humility. One of the parents this morning was having trouble getting their kids to sleep. I said, bring them to church. Nobody puts people to sleep like a pastor. Bring them to church, man. They'll sleep. So I'm sure she's out there. Where's Addie? Is she out here someplace? She's sleeping someplace. There you go. See? Sleeping. So anyway, serving the Lord. But it says with all humility. And I add this. God don't add it. God adds it here. Because it's an important aspect of what we're doing in service. Some people, you might know some of them, don't point please, I don't have too many of them in here anyway, but some people really only want to serve if they get a chance to be applauded, you know? I mean, some have no desire. I really appreciated yesterday, somebody stood up, we had some testimony time for yesterday for Pastor Andrew, and somebody stood up and said, I want to thank Pastor Andrew for teaching me how to mow grass. And I love that statement, but, you know, some people don't want to mow the grass because it's, you know, you don't get much of this. In fact, mowing grass, cleaning bathrooms, vacuuming the floor, those all kind of fit in the same category. The only time people notice them is when they're not done. That's exactly right. Nobody ever comes to church and says, Pastor, you've got the cleanest bathrooms. Thank you very much. But I promise you, every time there's a problem in the bathroom, I don't know what do you think I'm going to do? You know, I mean, I could be literally on my way to the pulpit, somebody will stop me and say, Pastor, there's a toilet plugged up in the, well then go get a plunger and I don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, yikes. Nobody knows those things unless it's not done, right? That's the thankless jobs. And those are the harder ones sometimes to get the volunteers for. Because we like the ability to have people applaud us and say, oh, good job, that was wonderful, I so much enjoyed it. And so, no, it's serving the Lord with humility. It's serving the Lord in any way that God would have me to serve and whatever God would have me to do. And I know this may surprise you, but your pastor actually does unplug toilets. You know, somebody comes and says, and you know, it's usually easier just to go find the plunger and do it than it is to walk somebody to the plunger, you know, and you'd be amazed how many people will look at the plunger like, what am I supposed to do with this? They've never done anything with a plunger before. All right, just let me have it. It takes seconds to get it done. It's just easier, right, to get it done. Serving the Lord. This is what normal Christianity looks like. This is 2020 vision. This is normal. I mean, people who are like really good with vision, that 2010, they're doing above and beyond. But normal Christianity is serving the Lord and serving the Lord with all humility. And it's humility of mind. And look what it says next. With many tears. What tears do you think the Apostle Paul is having here? Why is he crying? Okay, one is tears of joy. Yeah, let's not take that away. I mean, God has given us joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the Christian life is joyful. I saw somebody raise their hand during, what was the song we sang today? Not How Great Thou Art, but was it How Great Thou Art? Because He Lives. I saw somebody raise their hand. In a Baptist church, no doubt. Man, they must have gotten lost on the way here. They must not have read the sign quite exactly right. Or maybe there's just some joy in their heart. You know, wow, it's okay. I don't mind having some joy. I like for us, and I actually cry because I'm happy. And I know not everybody does. I do, right? I cry for anything. I know. I'm aware, but okay, you get the idea. This joy of tears of joy. Why else would the Apostle Paul be crying? Many tears, he says. Why else? Okay, there's sorrow. I mean, there's sorrow. He knows that there's an end to his ministry coming. There's sorrow because some of these people aren't responding the way he would like for them to respond. There's sorrow because, you know, what you keep filling in the blank, whatever it might happen. Some of these people have actually deserted him and have caused him hurt. Read the scripture. And yet he still is serving. This is normal Christianity, folks. This is what Christianity looks like. It's 2020. It's normal. That we serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord, and knowing that with that service comes many tears. Some of them are tears of joy, some of them tears are heartache, but there's many tears that comes with serving the Lord. If you want easy, then the Lord's service probably isn't where you're going to find it. But if you want worth it, then jump on board to Acts chapter 20. That's what God gives us. So, yes, there's many tears and temptations. And that word temptation, by the way, it does mean temptation towards sin. But the word temptation in the scripture is most often used not towards sin, but toward trial. Let me give you an example. In James chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." It's trial. Now, I'm just guessing that some of you have gone through some hard times this week. I was out in the hallway just a few minutes ago. I said, "Hey, how's your week been?" And the guy looked at me and said, "You really want to know, Pastor? Well, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and none of these were good things." He said, "And you go back a couple more weeks, Pastor." He said, "It's just been a rough month. It's been a rough month." There are trials. And in the midst of all the hard times, normal Christianity is still to serve the Lord. This is what you do. This is what it means to live out our Christian life in a normal setting. We serve the Lord with humility, with tears, with trial, with difficulty. We serve the Lord. And in the serving of the Lord, we keep nothing back. Verse 20. And we don't even hold back. So I'm not just going to serve the Lord a little bit. I'm all in. You know anybody who's like all in to their Christian life? You know, all in. And from a pastor's perspective, I think probably from God's perspective, you're either all in or you're all out. To think that you're part in, to think that you're halfway in, is only to deceive yourself. I can prove that from the scripture, as God is describing that kind of a Christian in Revelation chapter 3, chapter 4. He says, "I would that ye were either hot or cold. But since you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." You're either all in or you're all out. To hold back on the Lord is to give him nothing. Do you understand? There's no in between. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And anything less is to give him nothing. The Apostle Paul says, this is what normal Christianity looks like. I'm going to serve the Lord with humility, with tears, in spite of the trials and difficulties that come my way. And I'm not going to hold anything back. Because the job that God has for us is more important than anything that I might hold back. He's going to now begin to describe that job. "I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you." Every dad sitting here understands this concept. Hold nothing back. We love our kids. We give our kids anything that we can possibly give them. that doesn't kill them. Sometimes we'll try to kill them. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we love our kids, and we just hold nothing back. I mean, what dad hasn't had that little girl look at me, "Daddy, can I have?" And we're like, "Okay, I may not be able to pay the light bill this month, but you're going to get that candy bar." You know what I mean? We're all in to our kids. Hold nothing back. We understand the concept. And then we come into church, and this is normal Christianity. For the normal Christian, it's to love God like we do our kids. It's to hold nothing back. And you know why? Because it's profitable for the other person. It's profitable for you. And so that we begin to approach every soul that God brings into our life as, how can I give to profit this person? What do I have? I'm going to go across the street, and across the street we've met Cash, young man named after Johnny Cash, literally. So walk in, call him Johnny. See Cash, just call him Johnny. He'll answer. Johnny Cash. And Jazzy, that's his name, his given name. That's what he taught us. Is that your real name? Or is it a nickname? No, that's my given name. Okay, Jazzy. There you go. Jazzy, Navi. These guys work across the street at the drugstore over there. And why has God brought them into my life? Why are they there? So that I can make sure that they have a way to pay for their car payment? Or is there a way that my interaction with them could become profitable unto them? Well, when I recognize why I'm here, what normal Christianity looks like to serve the Lord, and I hold nothing back that might be profitable to them, I'm no longer standing in line saying, should I invite them to church or not? I hold nothing back that's profitable unto them. Should I share the gospel with them or not? I hold nothing back that's profitable unto them. This is normal. This is what Christians do. It's normal. Rather than adjust for my abnormal vision, ought I not to adjust my life to normal Christianity? He goes on, he says, I'm not going to hold anything back, probably, but I showed you and have taught you publicly in house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. And by the way, that speaks very clearly of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul had no bias. Isn't that great? As he's approaching the gospel, there were some in the church at this time who were saying, can't talk to them. They're not the right shade. They have an accent that doesn't fit with where we belong. There were some in the church doing that. The Apostle Paul, he said, nope. Both to the Jew and to the Greek, I'm taking the gospel. I'm testifying to them. Because they need to hear it. Because it's profitable unto them. Because this is what normal Christianity looks like. Repentance toward God and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning to God and to faith in Christ. That's what repentance is. It's a turning to Him. And He says, this is what I'm preaching. This is what I'm testifying. Both the Jews and the Greeks alike. Verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city. And He says, look, this is what real Christianity looks like. Normal. I'm going to go witness. And I know that some of the things that I'm heading toward, I'm not sure what they're going to bring me. In fact, he's fairly certain that it's going to be ugly. Somebody tells him that at some point in this story, where they say, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to die. They just tell him flat out. You go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. The Apostle Paul says, I'm bound in the Spirit. I'm going to go, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. But this I do know, that God is going to use His Word every place I tell it. That's what he says. That the Spirit is going to do a work. And I may not know what life has in store for me, and I may be scared half out of my wits to go forward in this calling that God has given me. To serve God takes a lot of risk. To serve God is scary. It's not always easy. And I know that it's going to cost me some tears, and I know there's going to be some trials, and I don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but this I know. Look what it says. Save, that means accept that, verse 23, that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city. So this I know, that God's Spirit is going to do a work, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't know what's going to happen, even when I don't see it, that the Spirit of God is still going to be working. This, folks, is what normal Christianity looks like. It is normal for Christians to serve the God that they love. It is normal for Christians to hold nothing back and to sacrificially go forward to tell other people what they need to hear from the Word of God. That's normal. And anyone not doing that is suffering from skewed vision. That's the problem. And we adjust our lives. We're the proverbial guy doing this to adjust our lives to what we see rather than to adjust our lives to the Word of God. And so our expectations become less. And to us, a normal Christianity is, for many, just going to church on Sunday mornings and looking halfway decent. And that's normal Christianity. And we're failing to see God doing a work in our lives because we're failing to live out the life that God's called us to. Normal Christianity. Last Monday, as I'm there with Miss Judy, I'd gone to see her Monday morning, and honestly, you can ask the family, they're here today. She was sitting up in the chair and said, "Pastor, I have no pain. I'm feeling really good today." Praise the Lord, that's fantastic. You know, we sat and chatted, and you know, and I walked out of there thinking, well, it could be a while still. You know, we've been expecting that the Lord was going to take her home, but it could be a while. About 7 o'clock Monday night, I get a call from Kenny. He says, "I hate to ask this of you, but Mom would like to see you." Okay, so head over, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, head back over there, and she is in pain beyond what I could describe to you. She is just writhing in pain. She's like, "I can't take the pain. Pastor, I'm going to, they're here, they've given some medicine, but once they give this medicine, it's going to knock me out." And she was concerned as to whether or not she was doing the right thing, whether or not it was okay to let them knock her out instead of endure pain. I mean, "Miss Judy, there's no reason for you to sit here in pain. You know, but know this, that once you get knocked out by this medicine, it's unlikely you're going to wake back up. So you need to say to your family what you want to say." And so the family's coming in. And I tell you, I can't explain to you how sweet it was. And I listened and thought to myself, you know what? This is normal. This is normal. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, this is so unusual. And the Apostle Paul is saying, this is normal Christianity. This is what Christians do. They hold back nothing. And it's all about the other person and how they might profit them. And even when it's difficult and there are tears and it's hardship, they're trusting that the Spirit of God is going to do a work. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God came into that room that night. And I said, "Lord, let this be normal for this preacher. Why is it that I would consider this unusual when it ought to be normal? This ought to be the way I'm accustomed to seeing Christians live their lives. Lord, make me a normal Christian, serving in spite of heartache and tears with humility and holding nothing back so that the other person, whoever they are, the guy across the street or my family or the friends gathered here today, would profit And let me trust that the Spirit of God will do a work even when I do not know what's about to take place. That's called normal Christianity.